It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, to another edition of Cabali and Mac. As you can tell, it's become black hoodie season in the Berg. It's chilly out there the last couple days. Dry, wet, dry, repeat. We got it. Just don't drop it in the garbage can after you're done with it. Flush it like a normal human being. He's Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mack. Welcome into the show. Episode number 93, the day after the biggest trade in the NFL in, I don't know, a long time. We'll talk about the Micah Parsons deal to Green Bay and the ripple effects all over the league, including the Steelers, because immediately the first thing we do in Pittsburgh is make about the Steelers, naturally. And also just a question about that position around the league, the edge rusher position that I want to pose to Kaboom to get his take on it. Some thoughts about just how good the Packers may be now. You may remember they're on the Steelers schedule. They'll be coming to town in October, I believe it is. And I'm going to just straight up steal a question from a former Steeler that I saw posted on social media this morning. Imitation and thievery are the sincerest forms of flattery, in my opinion. And I'll ask Cabali that question later. And he's all fired up for banana ball tonight. I'm excited because it's the start of college football. No, you're fired up. I can tell. You're trying to hide it, but it's okay. Plenty to get to. Follow us on X, where you may be watching the show, at Cabali and Mac. Of course, Instagram. If you're one of the first 500 followers on Instagram, you'll be part of that drawing for the $100 Yoli's, Cucina, and Craft House gift certificate. Would be perfect for a Friday night after a high school football game. Go get some Yoli Rollies, some mangoes, live it up. Follow on Facebook, TikTok, and of course on YouTube as well, where we're up to almost 2,600 subscribers. A sincere thanks to each and every single one of you. One more time, I have to thank Silas Gallows, who we found out, Kaboom, both of us DM'd him at separate times the other day to tell him that he had won. His real name is CJ, and he lives in England. We have fans in England now. The people that win this stuff are from Arizona and California and Florida. And now, officially, the Cabali and Mac podcast has made it across the pond because this little gem right here, the Paul Skeens autographed baseball.
Where's that? There it is.
The Paul Skeens autographed baseball is going to go right here in this box.
I'm not signing that one.
No, we're not doing that this time, like we did with the Muth helmet. That is being shipped out this afternoon to our friend CJ, who watches the show all the time across the pond in England, whose Manchester United took an absolutely horrific loss the other day. He's probably torn up about it. Soccer fans are that way. If you're a Steelers fan, imagine having that twice a week, basically, where your life could end because of a terrible loss. Anyway, thanks to CJ for following. And we have another giveaway.
What's Tony got for us?
All right, are you ready? This is going to be an option, and I only have one of the options here with me because Tony just stopped by to drop one of them off.
Okay, let me ask you a question before we get to this. Is this an option that has to be made now or after you win?
After you win, you're going to have the choice of which item you would like, okay?
Okay.
All right. One option, the one I do not have here with me because Tony did not have a chance to grab it before he swung by, is an autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin black leather vest, skulls and all. Okay. So that is one of the options for the next winner.
I'm glad I'm subscribed.
You can't win. We've been over this. Are you ready for the other option?
Hold
on. Here we go. What could be in here? Thanks to our friends at First and Goal Sports. What could possibly be in here, Kaboom? What do you think it is? You
want to take any guesses? What's it say on there? The real what?
TheRealAutograph.com. Authentic memory.
Obviously, it's an autograph.
It's an autographed item. Would you like to know what item it is?
It looks like a box of crackers.
A box of, what do you, yes, it's a box of crackers.
Let me just tell you what it looks like.
Are you ready for the big unveiling?
It's a helmet.
It's a helmet. It's an autographed Will Hard helmet. Will Hard. An autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet.
Oh,
that's his badass visor on it, too, which I'd love to see Will Howard wear, but I don't think that's his speed.
I like the gray face mask. Old school.
This is badass. So when we get to
Stone Cold, what do you think they're going to grab?
I don't know. It completely depends on who wins and what they're more into.
Or Stone Cold Steve Austin. What would you pick?
Honest. Get that thing framed and put it up on the wall in the basement. That would be badass.
That Stone Cold vest looks good, man.
So here's the deal. We're not going to do 3,000 subscribers for the next giveaway on YouTube. We're going to do 3,018. This was Kaboom's idea. Makes sense. Will Howard, part of the giveaway, possibly. So when we get to 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, again, we're at 2,592 right now. So we got less than 500 to go. When we get there, we'll pick a winner at random, and that person will get the option of the autographed Stone Cold black leather vest, skulls and all, or the autographed Will Howard helmet. Ooh, who you wrote an interesting piece about yesterday.
I want to see that. That was a nice little penmanship by Mr. Howard.
I mean,
look at the penmanship.
Look at that. Some silver Sharpie on there. That looks good. Yeah, you're right. The gray face mask. And again, I know Will Howard's never going to wear a visor in a game, most likely, but that's a badass look right there. Look at that. Look at that boy. He's a beaut, Clark. She's a beaut.
First and go, baby.
We got to thank them for hooking it up. So when we get to 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, we'll do another random drawing and you'll get to pick. Now, is that the big possible big announcement that Kaboom was hinting at on social media earlier? Maybe.
Well, next time we're on the air, we might have some new people scrolling around, huh?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe that's the big announcement. Maybe there's other things cooking. Maybe we are like Gordon Ramsay at the height of dinner service, and we got a million things cooking, okay? So thank you for being a part of it, seriously and sincerely, including our friends at Southwest Greens who've been supporting the show from the very beginning. Visit southwestgreenspa.com. If you're tired of taking care of your lawn, or maybe there's just an area you want to get done that always looks nice around the pool area, around the kids' play set, you could even have a couple little holes back there to practice your putting on. Mm-hmm. It's all possible with Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com and tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. We appreciate their support as well. So let's jump into it. Michael Parsons.
Hey, did you see this real quick?
Yeah.
You got to throw congratulations out to the American Nightmare. Cody Rhodes just had a baby daughter.
Really?
Oh, number two, Brandy and Cody had little Leilani. Lonnie.
Wow.
Maybe that's why he hasn't been around for a while, but
that might have something to do with it.
Because you know, Cody Rhodes he follows me on Twitter,
you know? Oh, excuse me. So still odd to me that John Cena, the John Cena Twitter account, follows Kabali and Mac, the show account on X. Yeah.
But Cody Rhodes only follows 900 people.
Oh, you're one of them. Look at you, big timer. You should probably send them something. You should probably send a gift then.
Maybe we should send them a gift card to Yoli's.
What would you do if one, you know, Monday after a Raw at PPG or whatever show, you know, you're driving home and you stop at Yoli's to get something to eat, and that bus, the Wheatley American Vodka bus, pulls up, and Cody comes out and goes, oh, and walks into Yoli's. That would be amazing.
You wear a Kaboali and Mac podcast hat, maybe?
Yeah, we got to get the merch train moving.
Big SmackDown tonight, but I'm not going to be able to watch it live. But
that's all right. That's why you're
rolling. We've been BSing for 10 minutes. We haven't talked about the Stellars yet.
No, we'll get to the Stellars specifically in a minute, but the Michael Parsons deal. Two first rounders and Kenny Clark, who I think is 30, traded to the Cowboys for Micah Parsons, who signs a four-year, $188 million extension with the Packers.
Like you get paid at Y108.
Just a little bit more. Yeah, just a little bit more. You're a fan of this, aren't you?
You know what? I don't think it's a bad. I mean, first of all, I think what I've learned so far by this is people despise Jerry Jones and the Cowboys more than they actually like him right now. I don't know if they're America's team. I think a lot of the pushback is just because people don't like Jerry. I honestly do believe that right now, because two first rounders, saving $47 million, and Kenny Clark is not a bad return for Micah Parsons. Now you're telling me, okay, that's 28th, 29th overall pick. That's just almost second. Is it? Is it?
I mean, it's going to be the back half of the first round.
Are we sure?
Most likely.
You know they're a step in the pothole away from having Malik Willis as your quarterback, right?
I get it. They won both games they had to play without Malik Willis last year somehow.
So, if you're assured if you're not going to be able to sign him, which they probably obviously were for a while now. I don't know if they didn't want to, but.
But they were assured that they weren't going to sign him because their owner GM completely botched things.
Yes. And after he botched things, I think he still got a pretty good, decent return on that. I mean, now what did they do with it? What did they do with the extra money that they now have? That's a different thing. But we are now saying, I mean, Micah Parsons obviously is one of the best players in the NFL. We can say that. But is he a absolute game-changing player that will make you from a potential division-winning team in a very good NFC North to a Super Bowl contender?
I think they're an NFC championship contender.
He's a 10 to 12 sack guy. He's a 60.
How many guys have had a dozen sacks in each of their first four seasons?
I don't want to sit here and rip on Micah Parsons because that's not the point here. I think the point is I think they could have got, as Dan Orlovsky, he said they got fleeced. I don't agree with it. I don't think that they got fleeced. I think it was a pretty fair trade. Now, obviously, the superstar is going to look better than the draft picks right now, but hey, look at Herschel Walker, right? Didn't that turn an organization around?
This isn't a Herschel Walker deal.
No, I know, but what you do with those picks, what you do with that money, and Kenny Clark is not a bad guy, which they couldn't stop the run last year with Micah Parsons. Man. So I'm not going to sit here absolutely hammer Jerry Jones for getting ripped off. Because I don't think they got ripped off, but it's not a good look. And if you're going to be able to take a shot at Jerry Jones, people aren't holding back.
Mike is 26.
I understand that Penn State guy. So
Mike is 26. Still, theoretically, probably hasn't reached his peak. Or if he's there, he's at his peak now and has at least 3 or 4 years left at that peak. To only get two, probably back half of the first round picks, and a 30-year-old defensive tackle out of the deal. That's what happens when you mismanage something. I think you're right. People want to rip on
situation. I mean, honestly, you were put in the bad situation by Jerry Jones. We can all agree on that,
right?
But then to be able to get two first and a very good defensive tackle, you have to feel fortunate if you're the Cowboys. When you're at that point right now of you knew it was at the point of no return.
Or they could have just paid the man.
That's water under the bridge.
I don't think that ship had sailed. If Jerry Jones would have picked up the phone and called David Mulligetta, Parsons' agent, and said, "All right, David, water under the bridge. I said some things. I'm sorry about it." And said, let's get the deal done. What?
Didn't Mulligetta told him to kiss his ass or something like that?
Well, that's what Jerry said. Jerry Jones has devolved into a caricature of Billy Bob's character.
Honestly enjoy characters like that in the league. I honestly enjoy those type of people.
For what we do, I love it. I love the fact that the Cowboys are a 365-day-a-year soap opera, right? They are the modern-day version of that TV show Dallas that was around when we were kids. That's what Jerry Jones is. He's JR on Dallas. He's the mogul who's always trying to make moves, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Well, these aren't oil futures, Jerry.
He's a character of himself. Character,
he is.
Of himself.
He's a caricature of a caricature at this point.
I find it humorous. I find it entertaining.
But if I were a Cowboys fan, I wouldn't. I'd be absolutely incensed this morning. You effed up, Jerry, in a major way.
I wonder how 49ers, I wonder how Cowboy fans are taking this.
Not well.
Is it sell the team, Jerry, just like nutting, or is it?
Well, I think that Jerry's never going to sell the team.
I'm just saying, what's the reaction?
Probably incensed at the fact that their owner continues to want to play football like he's got one of those electric table games in front of him. And the world has advanced to where we're all playing Madden 26 now, and he's still adjusting the little circular base on the plastic figurine, and it's just spinning in a circle. And then, despite the fact that the little plastic figurine somehow bumps into the quarterback a dozen times in his first 4 years each, he trades it for relative peanuts. If I get what you're saying about how he was backed into a corner at this point, but he backed himself into the corner.
I understand that. I understand that. But hey, he also is paying Dak Prescott a ton of money. He's also paying CeeDee Lamb a ton of money,
which he decided to do instead of paying Micah Parsons.
It's not like he's pocketing all this money. So I'm okay. Of course, I think Green Bay got the better of it, but I just don't think it's like, you know, Green Bay up here, Dallas down here when turns trade. I think it's more like, you know, closer.
Okay. We'll get into Green Bay and what I think they can be in a little bit. The immediate thing that we do as Yinzers and Steeler fans is we try to Pittsburghify the topic and go, oh, could the Steelers have gotten that for TJ Watt or got more? And the thing here is that
one's 26 and one's 31.
Yeah, one's 5 years older. And also, the fact that, what did we say the entire time people were screaming, well, just trade TJ then? What was the one thing we said over and over? You're not a better team if you trade your best player. And TJ Watt is still the best player on the Steelers roster. Micah Parsons is the best player on the Cowboys roster. You don't get better when you trade that guy. You're admitting that you're taking a step backwards, and who knows for how long. And to push the Cowboys to the side for just a second and how this may plunge them into rebuild mode while they're still paying a quarterback $60 million and a wide receiver $35 or $40 million, whatever they're paying CD, is no. The Steelers would not – even if the Steelers – I'll put it this way because this is the theoretical lots of people have thrown out. If the Steelers could have gotten two first-round picks and a defensive tackle like Kenny, a Pro Bowl defensive tackle like Kenny Clark for TJ Watt, would you have done it? You know what I'd say? No. I'd still say no. Because you're not trading your best player for theoreticals.
First, you're not getting that, so it's a moot point. You're not getting two first-round picks for TJ Watt at 31. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So what would have been – okay, so let's back it up a second then. And before we do, I want to thank the Dan Heck team, too, for supporting the show. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are there to take care of you, the whole team, whether you're upgrading to a bigger home as the family grows, downsizing as the kids leave and head off to college, whatever it may be, HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate the Dan Heck team supporting the show as always. What would a realistic deal for Micah Parsons have been had Jerry not backed himself into the corner the way he did?
Probably not much more than what he got.
See, I think there's another high draft pick involved. If not a first rounder, a second or third rounder at least, and what established player.
What did Khalil Mack get? Would that be very similar?
I mean, at the time that Khalil Mack got traded.
This is about the same time he got traded too, right? Same time of the year.
Yeah, right before the start of the season. Hold on, I got to look up the details now. I heard Florio bring this up this morning. Okay. Two first-round picks, a sixth, and a third in exchange for Khalil Mack, a second, and a conditional fifth.
Yeah, maybe. But what's better, a third-round pick or somebody who can play right away? And Kenny Clark.
Someone that can play right away. If it's a Pro Bowl guy like Kenny Clark, I'll admit that. But the Bears got – or excuse me, the Raiders got two first round picks that they turned into. One of them was Josh Jacobs, I believe. And none of the other guys really turned into much. The Bears used one of those picks on Cole Kmet, I think it was. And look, as far as Khalil Mack goes, it was a wash for both sides. It just has been. He hasn't been the same player. And so I think you could – we're talking about 26-year-old Micah Parsons at the peak of his powers.
Okay. Let's play the T.J. Watt game with this.
Okay.
He's 1-3 in the playoffs. In his last playoff appearance by Micah Parsons, he had two tackles.
Okay.
Isn't that the same argument we always said, well, TJ never won anything?
Well, I think the argument about TJ winning playoff games or not is erroneous. Because it's a playoff game. It's not just about TJ.
But that's not what the masses think.
Well, again, the masses would have had the Steelers trading TJ Watt a month and a half ago before the extension got done. And I think even if you say they could have gotten what the Cowboys got for Parsons, my point is I still wouldn't have done it because you're trading your best player at a time when you're built for now. And the Cowboys, whether Jerry Jones likes his run defense or not, have extended Prescott. They've extended Lamb. They go out and get George Pickens. They're built for now. This is not an organization that rebuilds. They haven't rebuilt in 35 years.
There's no guarantee Pickens is back next year. They can easily package some picks and go get a quarterback and move on from Prescott after the year. And then you got a good wide receiver in Prescott. What else do they really have that stands out here? I guess their tight end's pretty decent, but he's not going to get a ton of money.
Their secondary is not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, just like with Green Bay, I mean, we're just already putting them in the NFC title game here. But I mean, they got a secondary that has Nate Hobbs and Kaycian Nixon.
Also has Xavier McKinney. Also have Quay Walker in the middle. Also have Parsons and Rashawn Gary now on the edge. Devontae
Wyatt, who's been a disappointment.
And their offense, as long as Jordan Love stays healthy,
they got a bunch of talented but unproven wide receivers.
They've got a bell cow running back in Josh Jacobs, okay, who's breathed new life into his career, if you want to call it that, who's having a great second act in Green Bay after 1 year. You add Matthew Golden to Jaden Reed, who I never really liked as a number one, but as a number two, I love, and Dobbs. Yeah, and they've got a tight end that they like too. Like their offense is built to score points.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that's still unproven. It's not proven. All I'm getting at here is they do have the talent. All I'm saying is we just can't rubber stamp them to the NFC Championship game.
I'm not rubber stamping it. The NFC
seems like a lot are.
The second tier of the NFC, if I consider Philly and Detroit on the first tier, the second tier of the NFC is with Washington and Minnesota and Green Bay, I think, and Tampa is a lot more competitive now than maybe when we looked at it 3-4 months ago. And maybe that's just changing perspective as the season gets closer. Maybe it's some of these moves. But hey, I'm not rubber stamping them for the NFC Championship game. If I had to pick two teams off the top of my head for the NFC title game, it'd be Philly and Detroit still. And like you said, a lot has to be proven in Washington that they can do what they did last year, that Jaden Daniels will continue to grow. A lot has to be proven in Minnesota. You have what amounts to a rookie starting quarterback. In Green Bay, they've got the youngest roster in the league.
Chicago's looking good. Detroit's loaded. Rams are always around.
Rams are
look like they put something back together, right? They're a year removed from a double-digit wins.
So I'm not rubber stamping Green Bay for the NFC.
So what you're saying is these picks could easily be number like 20.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad.
In the back third of the first round.
If you got a 15th and 20th pick overall in the first round, that's not a bad pull to get somebody you want. And if it is getting a quarterback and dumping Dak, and all of a sudden you got $100 million, baby, let's go shopping.
You make a compelling argument. I still don't agree that you trade your best player. I just don't. Especially, you especially don't piss off him and his agent to the extent that he wants to be dealt.
I would say this about Watt. If you're giving me two firsts and a – if you give me what the Packers get him, I'm probably really, really contemplate. I probably am. I'm just telling you.
With his TJ hat on, he says this, people.
I'm just saying. I think TJ still is the best player in the defensive player in the league, but he is 31. And if you're going to get a couple picks like that and a player, I'm really considering. I'm considering much more than a one pick or whatever it was. But you would never get two for a 31-year-old. But I would definitely consider it. Absolutely.
This is where I do come around just a little bit on the forced stability and consistency that the Steelers get from the Rooney family. I don't know who was on Mad Dog Radio this morning on Sirius, but I heard them talking about
you in your car or were you just
I had to drop something off at school for my daughter. It's picture day. She needed something to fix her hair.
It's so, picture day like 2 days in?
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. Wow. But the high school girls love it because they all still have their tans from the summer and all that, I guess. Whatever. I don't care. I just had to run something up to the high school real quick. Anyway, yes, I was in the car at 8:30 this morning listening to Mad Dog Radio on Sirius.
Why aren't you listening to Crowley and Doran?
I listen to them enough.
It was a commercial.
I was listening to them, and one of the people on this show brought up a great point. The Packers never worry about a dumbass emotional owner getting in the way. They don't, because they don't have a dumbass emotional owner, right? Now, the Packers are a unique situation. But in organizations that have some level of consistency at the top, whether it's the Mara family in New York, whether it's Bisciotti in Baltimore, whether it's the Rooneys in Pittsburgh, where there's some level of consistency and stability, and they let the football people make football decisions for the most part, you don't worry about something like this. I never really thought the Steelers were going to trade TJ Watt, because that's the kind of thing a dumbass emotional owner signs off on, like Jerry Jones, or in Jones's case, just does himself.
Somebody has to sign it off in Green Bay. They're just not willy-nilly just throwing people around. Somebody has to say yay or nay, and it has to be more than the general manager. I don't know who it is, but somebody has to be that guy.
It's whoever their president is, or CEO, or whatever.
Yeah, so somebody has to sign off on it. So he's a de facto owner, right?
Ed Policy, who Pat made a great point the other day on his show, maybe just yesterday, that Ed Policy is the son of Carmen Policy, who was with the Niners.
Youngstown, PA, baby.
Yep, oh,
Youngstown, years. Ohio. My fault.
Youngstown, Ohio.
PA? It's very close to PA.
Might as well be PA, yeah. But he's got to sign off on it. And I don't think Ed Policy is getting all worked up and emotional over players. Like, he's like, we're doing business. We do the deal or we don't. Jerry got all emotional because he thought he had something in a handshake with Micah. And then Micah says, well, yeah, you got to talk to my agent to finalize all this. Mm-hmm. And Jerry turns into, no, we had a handshake, son. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I got an agent, man.
I don't know. Is that what happened? Or did he, Micah says, this sounds pretty good. I'm going to go tell my agent. And the agent's like,
When David Mulligetta sits Micah down and says, Micah, what was Jerry talking to you about? And Micah tells him whatever the terms would have been. He goes, you could get a lot more than that. We're going to sit around and see what happens with Watt. We're going to sit around and see what happens with Hendrickson. And then we'll go from there. And we'll get you more than $45 million a year.
Didn't Romo tell a story how they sat him down, him and Parcells, and basically try to bully him into a contract without his agent there?
Who told that story?
Romo, I thought.
Really?
They put him in the corner and said, okay, you better sign this. And the agent wasn't there, and Romo's like told him to go stick it. Parcells?
I wouldn't be surprised if it were Parcells. And it sounds like a Jerry Jones kind of thing to do now.
I've probably tried to do it to Mike. I'm not saying Jerry Jones. I mean, he's a billionaire for a reason. So he's not – he's slimy as it can be as well. I mean, strictly football sense here.
In a football sense, he's driven this organization into the ground, Kaboom.
And what I don't understand is why they're on every 4 o'clock game on six, you know, national television. Do they really still move the needle? Who the hell gives a shit about the Cowboys anymore?
Enough people that they do. They're the Cowboys fans are like Steelers fans and Packers fans, and to a certain extent, you know, you got Niners fans from the 80s era that are still kind of spread around. You got Patriots fans these days that are a little more spread around. They're one of those national brands. They still carry that weight. I don't like the fact that every afternoon at 4:25, there's a Cowboys game on. But the networks wouldn't do it if it didn't do something for them. And it must be doing something for them. The Cowboys could go 6-11. They'd still be showing up on Sunday Night Football in December.
I just don't know. I don't know who's there. This was something from obviously the 70s into the 80s. In the 80s, they weren't that good, right? Into the late 80s, early 90s, it maybe just carried over.
But that's the last time they went to an NFC championship game. It's been 30 years.
30 years. And that, 30 you know, years. You know, the Pirates say, hold my beer. Is that how the statement says? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's how it goes. But back to the Watt point, I think, even if you had gotten a similar deal, which is my point, because that's a theoretical that everybody's thrown out on social media, I still wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have. And I don't think I would have thought much about it, unless it's a team that seems like, you know, if the Carolina Panthers come to you and say, hey, here's three firsts and, I don't know, do they have anybody decent worth dealing? Probably not. A wide receiver. Here's three firsts and Adam Thielen. Okay, well, even then, I don't trade when, especially if you're the Steelers and you're all in on this year, and that's the decided track. You don't go trading your best player. It just doesn't add up. Doesn't make sense. I
mean, once again, if you're giving me 2 to 3 first round picks for a 31-year-old, I'm not just saying, get the hell out of here. I'm thinking, oh, let me think about this for a second. I probably still wouldn't do it, but I would definitely think about it.
You wouldn't hang up immediately.
Depends. No, I probably wouldn't. No, because I think, but then you look at the Steelers situation, you're like Herbig and Highsmith, do we
Sawyer
31, and he's going to be out of the league here in a couple 3 to 4 years, whatever it is. We could use this, but they got a ton of money, so I'm glad I'm not an owner or GM, I guess. Or I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be like, oh, should I sign him? Should I not sign him? I probably would try to make them feel a little bit more uncomfortable with what they would give me. And if they're willing to go that route, then I would do it. If not, then I wouldn't.
That's but you wouldn't get in an argument with the agent over the phone. And then
what I'm saying, if you gave me exactly what the Packers gave me for Watt right now, I probably would not have done it. I would have tried to push it a little bit more.
You would have had a hard time saying no.
Now it sounds like I'm contradicting myself because I say, yeah, absolutely. That was a good deal for the Cowboys, but the Cowboys were at the point where Parsons wasn't coming back. We knew that. And I still think I'm talking myself out of the other one as well.
Talking yourself in circles. Yeah. Like Gary, maybe you would be a good owner.
Well, I would think that I think it was quite evident that Parsons wasn't going to come back, but Jerry was sort of giving him demands. Hey, I still got you under contract for 3 more years. Really? That means you're going to use franchise tag on me twice?
Yeah. Oh. And he's taking shots at him about and getting it wrong about how many games he missed last year. And it's like
calling him Michael Parsons.
Yeah. I mean, the guy completely screwed himself into this deal. Whether it ends up working out for the Cowboys or not, we'll see. But I'm not too high on it.
Did you watch that Netflix special?
I haven't watched it yet. I've been told it's really good.
But you know what? I lived it, so I don't really need it. I watched it something like nothing's really new to me, man.
I don't know. There might be some behind the scenes stories we haven't heard yet. I think it's worth checking out if I get time.
I watch it, but you know, same with everything. I just watch it for 10 minutes and say the hell with it.
Thanks to our friends at Third Do First In, you'll watch it more than 10 minutes, I would hope. Firefighter, first responder podcast, talking about everything that goes into that life. Even if you're not into that life, if you're not living it, you want to hear the stories Keith and Gino and their guests have from all walks of that first responder life. Check them out on YouTube and all your social media as well at Third Do First In. We appreciate them jumping on as supporters of Kabali and Mac as well. So here's the question I wanted to ask you, since we're in owner GM mode right now, and the Packers give Micah the extension. That makes them one of just three teams in the league now spending more than 15% of their cap on edge rushers. The other ones are Vegas, where they gave Max Crosby a big deal, obviously. And the Steelers. Steelers are spending 17% of their cap on the edge rusher spot as well. So this happens. I think it goes in cycles in the NFL where positions get overheated because the market takes off in one offseason like it has this year with the edge rusher position. And all of a sudden, there's a lot of teams. Like I want to say it's almost a dozen teams spending at least 13% of their cap on edge rusher. You know, you get the San Francisco's of the world, Cincinnati now with Hendrickson, even if it's not yet a huge money deal. You get these teams that overextend themselves maybe at one position, and it leaves them short at other positions. And I'm just curious if you think it's completely overheated itself to this point, because edge rusher has become the second highest paid position in the league behind quarterback.
Obviously, quarterback's the most important, right? Right. You need a quarterback to be able to be successful. What's the counter to that?
You need somebody to get after the quarterback.
And make him uncomfortable and make him not being able to dominate games. So this is just like the counterpunch to the quarterback. We need ourselves a edge rusher. You saw that in Super Bowl 50 with Von Miller, I believe, right? When he just dominated Carolina. To the fact where it might have changed how they people put together their roster over the next couple of years, that we need the pass rushers, we need the defensive line. Look at the Packers, not Packers, look at the Eagles.
Yeah.
They just absolutely, every time the Chiefs stink, their offensive line gets absolutely blown up. The counter to that is then get better offensive linemen. So I think that's just natural progression of trying to, figure out how to stop these quarterbacks. But the quarterbacks then and the offenses then do adjust by a lot of quick throws and then make those guys sort of irrelevant. It's just a bunch of chess out there right now. But you better be able to get to the quarterback. I tell you that. I mean, who led the league in sacks last year?
Which team? Hold on. I just saw this morning. I'd have to look it up.
It wasn't the team that you would have thought.
No, it's not. It's a completely different team than you would have thought of.
Denver?
Yes, thank you.
So that's why a lot of people were picking Denver to win. And of course, with Bo Nix as well and Sean Payton. But you got to have that type of guys to be able to counteract a Pat Mahomes.
And I'm not arguing you don't need those guys. Like, yeah. I agree. Quarterback, most important, opposite side of the ball, edge rusher, probably the second most important position on the team right now. I don't disagree with that. I just wonder if we're getting to a point where the salaries are so elevated and overheated that you're going to start to see teams be disappointed in the production that they're getting for the level that they're spending on it. And
as long as that cap keeps going up.
True.
And it's somewhere.
But you know how some teams now have learned how to take advantage of the young quarterback and their fixed salary in that window? I think you're going to see more teams start to figure out, hey, we can probably take advantage of the fixed window for a young edge rusher who ends up being productive and use that money. Maybe we'll use that money now on the left tackle to protect our quarterback against those edge rushers. Or, you know, the Steelers would be in a good spot right now where their tackle costs are fixed for the next couple of years, right? Okay, costs are fixed at quarterback and at tackle, so they can spend more on edge rusher. I get it. But if you're a team that's overextended yourself at quarterback and at edge rusher and maybe at wide receiver, I'm talking about the Cowboys again, all of a sudden you don't have the money to spend at some of those other positions. I think we are due in the next year or two for another cycle of it moving to a different position that gets overextended, like left tackle probably, because like you said, you got to have somebody to keep your quarterback clean. And how many quarterbacks do we see right now? Burrow's a great example of they don't have the best offensive lines in front of them, and they've overcommitted maybe a quarterback or receiver, and they're in a spot where they have to decide to commit at edge or not, and they're not left with enough money to build up the offensive line, to maintain someone that they like, to keep them around, or to go out and sign someone.
Yeah, you see what the Bengals just did. They just got Dalton Reisner, which is all of a sudden makes them a little bit better there, huh? An offensive lineman. So they're a little bit better. Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to have to go somewhere. I think if you bring it back to the Steelers, though, this is where you're probably really happy that the Steelers have a guy like Omar Khan. He's so good with that type of stuff. He's able to figure out stuff 3, 4, 5 years in a row, where you go, where you need the money at, where you need to spend it at the most. That's where he comes in at and be able to make the deals. It's Tomlin's obviously decision of who to bring in and who to do it. But I'm quite sure he has, you know, values on everybody of what you need to spend on. He probably has a good feel of who will be that next, you know, group of guys that are going to get paid. I mean, obviously, I think they've come to the conclusion that maybe safety wasn't that position from a couple of years ago. And that was under what? Was that under Colbert? I still think, yeah.
Yeah.
It was under Colbert. So,
no, they've pivoted to spending more on corner now, obviously, by going out and extending Ramsey. And so,
well, they're not paying Ramsey much of anything this year, but.
But in future years, obviously, next year, the year after, the number jumps in a big way. So I do think that's where I do not buy into the idea, and people have had this criticism for 4 or 5 years now of the Steelers. Really, maybe not 4 or 5, since Ben hung it up. So, yeah, three, four years ago. This criticism that they so far out exceed their spending on the defensive side of the ball as they do the offensive side of the ball, and they go, oh, what's it won them? Well, it's about the construction of the roster, and when you have fixed costs on the offensive side of the ball and you have a young offense, you can afford to spend on the defensive side of the ball as they've done.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, the lack of high-level draft picks are still on the team has helped that cost stay down on the offense. I mean, in theory, you should be paying Chase Claypool right now. You should be
sorry.
I mean, you could be playing you could be playing Najee right now. I mean, there's some guys here that could have had that number a little bit higher, but it's just a matter of time before the offense catches up. I mean, your only guy you're paying on offense right now really is Freiermuth, as in your own money, your own draft pick. I mean,
yeah.
Look at when they were last good offensively. I mean, really good. They've had the bouncing DeCastro, Gilbert, Foster, Bell, Brown, Roethlisberger. They're paying a good chunk of money to that offense. And where did that get them?
Right. That's the counterpoint. They gave
up 50-some points to the Patriots, and let's fire Dick LeBeau, you know, type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there is an argument to be made, too, inside this whole conversation about which positions get paid the most and how you construct your roster to trying to find more balance. And if you find more balance, hey, we pay our quarterback a lot. We pay this guy on defense a lot. We pay our left tackle or wide receiver a lot. We pay this corner or whoever it may be on defense a lot. And you've got 4 or 5 big money deals, and then you find the spots to pick and choose, but you're always balanced on both sides of the ball. Maybe you can build a more complete team that doesn't give up 50 to the Patriots in the playoffs or has to kick 6 field goals to win sometimes.
True.
Yeah, I know. Okay, that's why I said it.
I'm just looking at some of the comments here.
Are people telling us we're stupid as usual?
Yeah, probably. I just have to check my Twitter for that.
Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. They're the best. They've been on board from the very beginning. If the AC wasn't doing what you wanted it to do this summer when it was real hot out, if you're worried about the furnace working right when it starts to get chilly, it's already been chilly a couple mornings, not furnace weather yet, but you want to get the system checked out, make sure it's all tuned up and ready to go, or you do have problems, they're the people to come out, take a look. Like I said, give it a little tweak, a little tune-up, some maintenance or repair or replacement. Impact HVAC, the people to do it. Find them on Facebook. You can message them there directly at Impact HVAC PGH, or give them a call, 412-297-1852. And a big thanks again to them for supporting the show. So this is where I'm going to be a complete and total thief. I saw you retweet something that Trey Essex said this morning.
Yeah, about the great Trey Essex.
The great Trey Essex.
Very, very smart man.
He is. Northwestern, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got to be smart to go to Northwestern. Ask Ron.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say, except Ron.
Wow. You take a shot at Cookie?
Oh, Cookie doesn't pay attention. He doesn't ever return my tweets, texts anymore, so he can kiss my rear end.
Straight thievery from Trey's post earlier this morning. He said, this year's Steelers breakout player will be fill in the blank. And I'm curious.
You got to define breakout. What does breakout mean?
Define it however you want to define it. Boom.
There's guys that we're talking about, guys that did nothing last year that show up. We guys that played, you know, average last year to take it up another level. What are we talking about here?
However you want to define it, my friend.
Aaron Rodgers stunk 2 years ago. So is he a breakout?
No, he's a future Hall of Famer. I don't think. Well, I mean, if he racked up 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, I guess that's a late career breakout. No, yeah. I think of breakout more as a player who hasn't shown you yet what you think he's capable of, and he proceeds to show you exactly what you think he may be capable of. Like, yeah, Roman Wilson, I think, would be a great candidate. If you think Roman Wilson's going to have 65, 70 catches this year and average like 15 yards a reception, be a downfield target, making plays after the catch, all that kind of stuff, Roman Wilson would be a great candidate for breakout player of the year.
Yeah, you know, funny you should bring that guy's name up is I think the Steelers, if they had a vote in this, they would pick Roman Wilson. I've never seen a front office or a scouting department or inside that, not even the locker room, not even talking about players, that have such high hopes for a guy more than they do Roman Wilson.
Well, you go back and
Roman Wilson. I mean, I heard the other day, it's like, watch out for Roman. I'm telling you, trust me, Roman Wilson. I'm like, really? Okay, I guess I'll trust you.
Well, go back and watch his tape at Michigan. Like I mentioned this a few weeks ago when I was watching the Connor Stallions documentary on Netflix. You see some of the stuff, and they're just showing clips, right? It's just clips and highlights of Michigan's national championship season. So naturally, it's all going to look good. And he was surrounded by talent on that team. But some of the stuff he was doing was, this is definitely an NFL guy.
Yeah.
And if he produces anything close this year to what I think they expected when they drafted him a year ago, if he's anywhere close to that level, that's a breakout year for Roman Wilson, especially after not getting to touch the field at all last year.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm quite ready to go there with Roman Wilson quite yet.
All right. Give me someone else then.
Fatano would be a guy, but I don't think the average Joe or average football player or average football fan is going to really notice him until, you know, I don't think he's very noticeable. He's just going to do his job, which is all he needs to do. I mean, he's not going to shine. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a couple ways he can shine. He can be noticeable. Well, one of them,
no, one of, PFF grade.
No, I'm not even talking about PFF grade. Smartass. I'm talking about, you know, one of them would be detrimental, would be if Broderick Jones really struggled on the other side, but you never see anybody coming from Faltanu's side, right? That wouldn't be great. But that would be one way people would go, oh, Faltanu's great. Broderick's over here letting everybody through like a turnstile. I think the better way would be, you know, especially when we're talking about these outside stretch zone concepts in the run game, you see Faltanu out there just stiff-arming corners, plowing over linebackers when the backs try to get to the edge, really cutting things off, getting out on the move. Steeler fans love to see their offensive linemen out on the move, punching dudes in the mouth. We do. And if you see that, you're going to get excited about it. Even if you're just the average Joe, you're going, ooh, who's 76? He's smashing people, punching them in the mouth. And that would get people excited. I also think the other way is just straightforward and simple. you never see pressure in Rodgers' face. Like, if Rodgers always has time to step up in the pocket and not have to deal with someone pushing right in his face from the right side, then that's a sign that Faletonu's doing something right.
I can sit here and say that the obvious of, you know, Darnell Washington.
That's a good one, too.
I mean, Jaylen Warren, to a point, could be fitting in there because he really never started before. I mean, the two guys, I'll give you one on each side now.
Okay.
On the offense, I think I will go with Mason McCormick. I think that guy's going to be rock solid at guard. Once again, he's going to be hard to be able to decipher that until maybe after the season's over. But I think he's going to be very good. And who's going to be very noticeable because he's going to get a ton of opportunities is Peyton Wilson on defense. And he's going to play a ton. And he's going to make plays. He's going to make plays in the passing game. He's going to make plays in the running game. He's going to use his speed to get down the field. So he could be that guy that's, you know, maybe even, I wouldn't say overtake, but get closer to what Patrick Queen is right now. Right now, it's obviously Queen has been there, done that for 5 years now. Wilson hasn't. I think Wilson closes that gap a little this year, and I think that's huge to this defense. So
can I say something,
McCormick?
Can I say something without being a Penn State homer?
Oh, I promise. I'm trying to think of the Penn State guy on the roster.
No, there isn't a Penn State. There's not a Penn State JPJ, but I'm not.
Well, I am Freiermuth, so.
Yeah. Peyton Wilson, obviously he's bigger because everybody's bigger these days. It's 50 years later. You catch a little Ham vibe from him?
Oh, Jack Ham couldn't even play in special teams in the league.
Couldn't play safety in the NFL. What did Whaley say a couple years ago that pissed everybody off? He said Jack Ham would struggle to be a starting safety in today's league or something.
Or a special team or something. That's
But you know what I mean? Like a big, rangy, off-ball linebacker who's going to sneak a couple picks, who can get sideline to sideline, who can also make the big hit occasionally.
Yes.
I catch a bit of a Hammer vibe from him.
Yeah, I guess if Hammer played on the inside, maybe. I don't think you'd see too much pass rushing out of the guy.
Well, it's a different defensive style.
He's more of a lankier guy than a thicker guy, right?
Yeah, he just strikes me as somewhat like how many years over the last, Jesus, it feels like 20, have we watched the Steelers defense just get absolutely shredded in the middle by tight ends? I mean, it's routine at times, and it drives me insane. Peyton Wilson strikes me as the guy who could help alleviate that concern by getting downfield in coverage, can also go sideline to sideline, and even when you want him to, will come up and stuff a hole in the run game. And that's sort of the complete kind of linebacker that I'm talking about when I make that Penn State Homer-style comparison to Jack Ham. I'm not saying he's a future Hall of Famer. Cool your jets.
Here we go. Jack Ham was 6'1", Peyton Wilson 6'4".
I said there's
Jack Ham was 225. Peyton Wilson's what, 245?
Yes. I looked up the measurables. Trust me.
Peyton Wilson ran the 40 in what? Let me see. He ran a 40 at – I don't even know what he ran a 40 in.
Let me tell you this.
I mean, he didn't even have an ACL, and he ran a 4.43, I think, and Jack Ham ran a 4.6. But, yeah, okay.
I said there's a difference. It's a half-century difference in the modern-day athlete. I didn't make an apples-to-apples comparison. I just said I catch a Hammer vibe from Peyton Wilson. That's all.
Jeez. Yeah, I did. He's one of those guys that jumped off the page early in the OTAs that you say is different. I mean, Washington was one. Roman Wilson was another, and Peyton Wilson was another one. So
if I see Hammer tomorrow, I'll tell him you said hello.
And you're going up there.
Yeah, we're going up there.
Oh, we already talked about that. I hope you're not sitting in those goofy portable stands. No,
I told you we're on the other side of the stadium. We're on the Penn State sideline portion of the stadium, not on the sideline.
What time is that game?
3:30. You lay in the 43 at Rivers against the Wolfpack of Nevada.
First of all, I could probably name 50 to 60 things I'd rather do than go to a Penn State Nevada game. It's in Nevada.
Nevada. Tomato, tomato. I don't know.
I'm going. I told you where I'm going. I'll be in Bethel Park watching the TJ fifth grade team, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Cheerleaders.
Wow, that sounds creepy. Go, Jags, go. Go, Jags, go.
Creepy, but you know what I'm talking about.
You going to the Central Valley game tonight?
No, go to the Banana Ball.
Oh, that's right. We'll get into that in a second. My breakout player, he's a rookie, and I don't know how much time he's going to see, but I've mentioned him a couple times since the last two preseason games. I think Y.A. Black, baby. I'm telling you. I think this dude is going to be a monster when he gets on the field.
The Big Hungry.
Yup. Is he going to keep the same jersey number? They haven't changed it, have they?
Well, put it this way. This is how they do it in social media. About 5, 8, 10 years ago, they would just put it on the roster and not tell anybody. So
right.
I always used to go on there and say, oh, Steelers got a new number. Now it's a big story. Steelers changed numbers.
So he's going to stay 78, you think?
I don't know. What number was he in college? 94?
Don't know.
I think he was 94 in college. Who's 94 here? Oh, it's what's
Lawrence Timmons.
No, the guy who's on the IR. The guy, the big white defensive lineman they signed last year.
On IR?
Yeah.
I don't know. You're supposed to know this stuff.
I don't know big old offensive lineman on IR.
78 would be a good number to have. I like that. That sounds like an old school Steelers defense. That's like a steel curtain number. Dwight White was 78.
Well, how would you say Dwight White over Max Starks?
I said defense. I said steel curtain.
Dean Lowry has 94.
Okay, good for him.
Well, did you happen to notice, by the way, when the Steelers put Will Howard in?
Will Howard.
Will Howard and Dante Kent on IR and brought back Carr and Sharping, that they did not designate Will Howard for return, but they did designate Corey Trice for return.
I saw you write about that in your
story. All that means is, you can still do it.
Yeah, but they haven't done it yet.
Need to put Corey Trice on designated return when you could have just waited. Well, you're saying Will Howard not to? That's not a good sign to me, man.
You're reading into this Will Howard IR thing a whole lot more.
I just think it's not good. I just don't think it's beneficial to him, the organization. That's all. I just don't think it's right.
Well, if the guy's hurt and he physically can't take snaps, for at least a couple more weeks, I don't know what else you want to do.
Oh, is he? I told you what. Apparently, I don't have any sources and nobody knows anything, even though that. I told you Chuck Carr was coming back.
Clark.
Whatever. Who's Chuck Carr? Chuck Carr. It might be, it's my buddy's dad's name, I thought. What?
Anyway.
But, I had that hours.
Chuck Carr was a baseball player in the 80s.
Yes.
Oh, he played for the Cardinals for a while. That's why you know who he is.
He was more of a Marlins guy, wasn't he?
He was a Marlin as well.
So, apparently I don't have anything sources. I'm always wrong, but. I had that hours before that. But I also told you the reason why is they're not really worried about Will Howard's finger. They're worried about his shoulder. I've heard this from the highest level you can possibly go to, that they're worried that they throw him in there. He hasn't thrown in a month. All of a sudden, he starts having shoulder problems because he's out there, goes from 0 to 100. And he doesn't work. I'm telling you, that's what they were concerned about.
Couldn't you just ease him back into reps then?
But apparently when they get out on the field, the coaches want you to go 100%, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but you could just say, Coach, Will can only go 10 throws today.
I understand.
And 15 next week and 20 the week after that.
I honestly think it goes above that. I think it does go above it might go toward the doctors and – saying, hey, but it could be a convenient excuse of why, too. And maybe there's an outside concern, but that's what the word is.
That seems a little convoluted. I understand the philosophy behind it or the logic behind it.
Because he has not thrown, because you're not going to throw this. You might go like this a little bit, and all of a sudden you're out there, boom. Now you can spend weeks trying to strengthen that arm up. But you would think that they would have different.
I would presume he didn't
do that, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That strikes me as a little odd. It does, and a bit of an excuse. But
I mean, this was just brought up. You know, I didn't even ask for it. I was just told this. I was like, oh, this is why. Okay, I see. But
well, I still think as soon as he busted,
what do I know, right? What do I know?
Nothing. I still think as soon as he busted his hand, like we went over this last time, you knew it was going to be a lost opportunity for him this year because he's not going to play in the regular season. And his biggest opportunity was getting a bunch of snaps in the preseason. Once that went out the window, it was kind of like, eh. Again, not a total lost year, but it is what it is. He's not going to get much opportunity.
So if he comes back week six, are you just going to dump Skylar Thompson then? I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, he can, in theory, he can just go on the side and just start throwing now, right? Warming up.
He could do that while he's on IR, yeah.
So if he can do that while he's on IR, I just
you
don't
keep
know.
Him on IR as long as possible, and maybe he's not activated until November. Who knows?
What is the liking for Skylar Thompson and the odds of you getting to that third quarterback?
I said this the other day. I think there's an advantage to a guy who's at least taken some NFL snaps in meaningful games as your third quarterback over a completely green rookie who missed the last third of training camp.
If you think he's going to come in and do what Rudolph did two years ago.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying if I'm weighing my options at QB3, if we got to that point, and again, if you get to your third quarterback, you're basically screwed anyway. But if your options were, especially in a year where you're all in, right? If your options are Skylar Thompson, who we've at least seen throw NFL passes in the regular season, or Will Howard, who missed the last third of training camp and has never been in an NFL game before, well, yeah, I'm going to lean towards the guy who's actually been on the field before.
I don't know. I'm just, what do you think about Scantling telling the Steelers that?
I mean,
the Steelers want him for the practice squad, you know?
Right.
But, you know, I don't know anything, so this is just me making stuff up, apparently. They want him to go to practice squad, but he was contemplating. He said, wait a second. I'm looking out 49ers. All the receivers are hurt.
Right.
Put me on the practice squad, then they're going to elevate me to the roster week one, and I'm going to have a chance to play here. I mean, we got DK. We know they like Calvin. You know they love Roman. Where am I going to fit in at here? That's why he went. That's why he went to San Francisco. I mean, Aaron Rodgers,
a better deal for
every
him,
guy. He wants to trick out of the book and say, come play with me. And if you're going to sit there and sit on the practice squad, you're nuts. And for Robert Woods to accept a position on the practice squad because he likes playing for the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers?
That's wild.
Which I was told is like, okay, my friend.
That's wild to me that Woods was willing to take the practice squad.
I was stunned. He was like, I mean, you see this all the time.
You weren't just shocked or stunned. You were stunned.
Oh, stunned. I ain't doing this crap, man. I've been in this league 12 years. I got a Super Bowl. I played in Super Bowls. I've made $77 million. I'm just going to practice squad. But there
he's going
because he loves playing for the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers and company.
But he's not going to actually play. He's going to be catching scout team balls from the backup.
I'm making stuff up. So
that's true. You do that. I know.
I had a tough week, you know, making stuff up.
I know. You're a busy guy when you start making stuff up. You excited for Banana Ball?
I don't, you know what? Only thing I know about Banana Ball is if you catch a foul ball, the batter's out.
Yes. If somebody in the stands catches a foul ball, the batter is out. There's all kinds of crazy rules. I was looking at it this morning.
Now, the question is, you can't have one of you know when somebody fouls the ball off like 10, what a great at bat. Is it? Is it really a great at bat? You wouldn't have that in here.
Did you know they don't have walks either?
Yeah.
They don't have walks. The ball's live and every position player.
There's a
time
limit for the game. I think it's like an hour and a half or something.
2 hours. 2 hour time limit. No stepping out of the box. Batter steps out of the box. It's a strike.
And historically, if you look at some of the games that they played in Cincinnati and such, former players tend to show up.
They do. Who do you think it'll be?
Oh, obviously, you know, Josh Harrison looks like a guy that would fit in perfectly there, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other recently retired former Pirates.
If Jack Wilson was around, he'd be another one, but I don't know if he's even.
Yeah. Always a good.
Get Neil Walker's ass out there.
That might be a good call. Walker out there might be a good call.
I can see the Ford out there. The Ford. He always holds that damn bat. I mean, you're batting like lifetime 200. You probably should just be holding the catcher's mitt while you're doing your stand-up.
Grilly might still go out there and try and fire a few, but I don't know how many bullets he's got.
You know who I like to see? Teague. I don't know. I haven't heard from Teague. I don't know how he's doing. I don't know anything. Wow. Can you imagine Teague going out there?
Bringing the old submarine heat.
I haven't heard much from Teague, huh? I wonder how he's doing.
I hope he's doing well. I'll be at the Penn State game tomorrow. You'll be at Banana Ball tonight. Did you watch any college football last night?
I watched the.
Did you see Boise get their ass beat?
I saw that. Then I watched the Rutgers Cincinnati game.
No, it wasn't Rutgers Cincinnati.
I'm like, screw this, and I shut it off.
It was Cincinnati Nebraska, but you were close. It was another red and white.
Oh game. Yeah, they look like Rutgers Cincinnati. Yeah, because Kelsey was there.
You were just watching it for Taylor
right
Swift
before
sightings.
The last drive. I'm like, of course.
You were just watching it to see Taylor Swift. Be honest.
Swifties.
Yep. Nah, all right. Know.
How much is she worth?
A lot.
Think there's a prenup involved here?
Has to be, right?
It better be.
Has to be.
Can you imagine? What is she worth? A billion?
Gotta be multiple billions, right?
I feel bad for poor Travis. How the hell you pick out a ring for her?
She's worth $1.6 billion.
That's what I'm saying. Well, maybe something tells me he might have got that somehow sponsored or something. Hey,
you think he got her wedding ring sponsored?
Give me this ring if it's $5 million. I don't know. Just throw a number out there. I'll do some commercials for you.
I think that's a weird look.
I mean, honestly, how much is he worth? I mean, he just sold
between 70 and 90 million.
Yeah, because they sold that New Heights podcast for 100 million, didn't they?
I don't know.
I thought they did. Oh, put it this way. They're not going to be eating government cheese like I did growing up.
No, they won't be.
It's pronounced government cheese.
Government cheese. Is it pronounced muslin cloth or muslim cloth?
Yeah, that's Josh Taylor. I think it's muslin. I kept saying muslin cloth to Josh Taylor, and some guy would be like, you better apologize, and that's racist. I'm like, it's muslin cloth, you idiot, not muslim.
All right. I don't know. We'll do another episode because Monday's Labor Day.
Josh Taylor loves his muslin cloth. Loves his pocket squares. I'm not a big pocket
square. I know.
Guy. I try a pocket square.
Or a muslin cloth guy.
It feels like I just got a bunch of hankies in there. So I don't like that.
you a hanky guy?
I think we go.
That's right. You do pull out the hanky occasionally.
I don't. Ugh. Put it this way. I know it's disgusting and all, but a nice hanky, as if you're like your nose is constantly running, it's really, really feels good on the nose, you know, a little hank.
Yeah, nothing like some old crusty snot to wipe your nose with.
Just keep doing the fold over.
Mm-mm. No, I'm good. That's why they got tissues.
I like the old what do you use hankies for then?
I don't use hankies.
When you're out there cutting the grass, you tie it around your head in the bandana.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
When are we doing this again?
I don't know. Well, Monday's Labor Day. I think we should take the day off.
Even have Labor Day picnics anymore? I think that's gone by the wayside.
Probably to an extent, yeah. They might have little get-togethers. I don't know. Tuesday is
my neighbor's house and go to Phoenix or something.
Tuesday is the Tomlin press conference. Maybe we'll do one after that when you're driving your way home after the Tomlin presser. We'll sneak one in.
I had to buy one of those things. We just go like this.
Yeah, you just put it up on the dash.
No,
that might be entertaining.
Like Kuntz, how he did it when We had him on. He was driving to a workout.
Yeah, you could do that. You getting mad at traffic?
Oh.
I can't believe this guy.
You know what? You know what? Do you believe in? Now we'll go after this. I guess this is a traffic question.
Yeah.
This is very. I don't know if it's very Pittsburgh or it's very everywhere now. The old zipper technique of
merging. The proper way to merge.
So I get out. I come out of the Southside facility, make a left on the 837.
Right.
And right before you get into
Baldwin,
it goes right before right past the Giant Eagle and the Giant, the get go. Everybody's in the left lane. I go on the right line, go past like 70 people.
Yeah. That's the right way to do it.
And the people, I hate when those assholes pull over in the middle. You ever get one of those?
Yeah. Like, they don't want anybody to merge.
I mean, I believe in the merge point.
Yeah.
I really do.
And you drive to the merge point, then it's the zipper method. Everybody knows.
Yeah, then you got that one clown that says, you ain't getting in front of me.
I've been sitting here for 10 minutes. Ain't nobody merging in front of me.
Now, the people that, there's some people that take advantage of it, you know, go like out on, like on the parkway. If you're getting on the parkway from 51, they'll go on the side. The berm period.
The shoulder?
Shoulder and try to get there. Then I get pissed on that.
But. Well, no, that's the shoulder. That's not what it's for. You got to stay in one of those three lanes of traffic. But it does bother me when the truck's going up Green Tree Hill, coming off of 51, they won't move over. And they're in that right-hand lane. It's like, pal, that's an exit up there in a quarter mile. You got to move over so I can get where I'm trying to get to Green Tree, pal.
Everybody gets on their right. That's another thing. That's not a merge point that pisses me off is they go all the way past the Green Tree exit, then they hurry up and cut in.
Yeah.
That's not a merge point there, brother. That's circumventing the rules.
That's a disaster waiting to happen. All right, let's stop bitching like a couple of old men. We'll do another episode.
You are a couple of old men.
True. Enjoy banana ball tonight. I'll send some notes along from the Penn State game tomorrow. Maybe get some. You need any ice cream from the creamery?
Oh, don't tell my wife. That's like a synagogue up there for her.
Maybe that's not so bad. Good.
Well, we gotta go here, and they put like dry ice, and you got all these shit. I'm like, get the hell out of here.
Because you gotta drive it home, and it's gotta stay cold.
Apparently, there's a Penn State. There used to be one down the road at almost in Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. They used to go up and get Penn State ice cream and sell it here. They closed, but apparently there's another one opened up somewhere, maybe in Finleyville-ish, something like
really?
That. Really?
That's not far. I need more details.
I don't know. You have to ask her. She's, you know, anything Penn State's the best. I'm
like, okay. Yeah. Ask her over the weekend. And we'll do it again after the Tomlin press conference on Tuesday and then get all geared up for the opener against the Jets. Kaboom. It's here. The season is here.
We got some more people to welcome Tuesday, so we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to be busy. There's a lot going on. Don't forget, if you're one of the first 3,018 subscribers on YouTube, this beautiful boy, this Will Howard autographed Stellar's helmet could be yours, or the autographed Stone Cold black leather vest. It'll be your choice if we pick your name. But thanks to all of you following along on YouTube, all the social media as well. Have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll do it again on Tuesday. Yes, that's the Stone Cold vest. People know what it looks like. There you go. 100% whoop ass. And it's autographed. We'll do it again next week. We'll get you all geared up for the Stillers and Jets. Thanks for joining us here on Kabali and Mac. We appreciate every one of you.